role of law and the nature of communities. With new technologies of navigation and new networks of roads, not only did societies interact with each other differently, thus instigating changes in cultures, but so did the nature of warfare. Navies grew more important, and gunpowder and other new technologies of fighting ushered in the end of the reign of knights and local warlords. With governments and political systems changing, substantial shifts in the nature of the diplomacy required to resolve such conflicts also took place. In other words, while the average citizen of the 14th century saw struggle and chaos, changes were afoot that would redefine how people thought of themselves, who they were, what a community was, and of the nature of basic rights, of governance, of work and economics, of war and peace. To understand the future and how it would be different from the past, it would therefore have been essential to consider the questions associated with such changes, to ask in the context of the changing world, and to ask again amid what was to follow, how does all this change how I view myself, my community, my rights, my government, my job, and the way the world works around me? During another such time of upheaval, we too would benefit from considering similar questions because once again the coming changes will be profound. Of course, asking the right questions and getting the right answers is easier said than done. We have loads of biases. We expect the world will confirm those biases, and we mishear and misread events around us as a result. We expect the future to be like the past. After all, we live in a world in which 85% of the time, the weather tomorrow is the same as the weather today. We are also harried and so busy reacting to the demands of the moment, much like the average citizen of the 14th century dealing with war and plagues and climatic catastrophes, that pausing to get to the root questions often seems like an impossible luxury, and one we are ill-prepared for. This last point is also important. If we don't understand the technologies or the other forces at play in changing our world, be they the burgeoning sciences of the early Renaissance or the neural networks or cyber threats of today, then how can we possibly understand what is to come? Furthermore, if those who are supposed to lead us don't understand the changes, they can't ask the right questions either. What's more, they typically have a vested interest in resisting the questions. The status quo got them where they are, and they have a strong interest in preserving it. For example, the predisposition of our political leaders to seek to capitalize on the fears of the moment to advance their self-interested desire to cling to power regularly leads us to keep our eyes on yesterday's headlines rather than on the horizon. Fear-mongering is not only exploitative, and by the way, plays right into the hands of some like terrorists who seek to promote fear, it is also a potentially fatal distraction from the bigger risks associated with the potential coming changes for which we are ill-prepared. I know some of this from personal experience. In the late 1990s, I founded a company devoted to using the power of technology to help top policymakers and business leaders get the answers they needed. My proposition was that now, thanks to the internet, we could use sophisticated tools, this was before Google, to find any answer you might need. Seemed like a gold mine. It was not. Why? Because what we discovered was the big problem in most organizations was not finding the answers. It was getting our would-be clients to figure out the right questions. I've spoken to many top intelligence officials who acknowledge that they have the same problem in the U.S. government. Vast apparatuses with huge resources devoted to gathering information, but real problems when it comes to arriving at the questions that might make those people and satellites and computers useful. One current top intelligence official said to me, "Asking the right question is the biggest challenge we face. People typically let the immediate past shape their questions. How do we avoid another shoe bomber?"